Blood pools on the ground as Rafe steps over it with chilling detachment. Griffin's shocked question, "What have you done?" hangs in the air, unanswered and heavy. As Rafe slams the car door shut, six pairs of eyes watch him drive away, but only one matters, Penelope's. Her gaze burns into his bloodied hands gripping the steering wheel. "What the fuck, Rafe?" she says, using his nickname for the first time. The shock in her voice carries a breathless edge, suggesting she's seeing him clearly for perhaps the first time. Rafe doesn't answer, instead retreating into memory, recalling the night he first wondered if Penelope might be his Queen of Hearts. Against the backdrop of his brother's wedding and a port explosion that turned the sky orange, he had wondered what the bottom of his fall would feel like. Now he knows. It's Penelope's breathing, her citrus perfume, and the incongruously innocent sound of Bing Crosby's White Christmas playing in the background. What's most disturbing is the calming tranquility washing over him. There's a twisted comfort in knowing he's fallen to the bottom and can fall no further. When Penelope quietly asks where they're going, his hand slides off the wheel to find her knee, an intimate gesture, stained with someone else's blood, and he answers simply, "Home, Queenie." The relationship between Rafe and Penelope forms the narrative's core. Their connection isn't built on traditional romance, but shared trauma. Rafe's nickname for Penelope, Queenie, or his Queen of Hearts, carries layers of meaning, representing both love and power, mirroring how she embodies his capacity for love and potential for violence. Their relationship challenges conventional love. Rafe reflects that while people describe falling in love as a gentle descent, loving Penelope feels like plummeting without a safety net, dangerous, exhilarating, and potentially fatal. "You don't get to decide what I can handle," Penelope tells Rafe. "I've seen monsters before. The difference is, you've never pretended to be anything else." This mutual acceptance of their true natures, flawed and dangerous, forms their connection's foundation. In a world that teaches us to hide our darkness, being fully seen becomes revolutionary. Their love doesn't erase their sins, but creates a space where those sins don't completely define them. Through flashbacks, we learn about traumas that shaped Rafe's moral compass. At 12, his father told him, "There are two types of men in this world, those who take what they want and those who watch others take it." This toxic lesson became foundational to his worldview. His brother's betrayal further damaged his ability to trust. "Brothers are supposed to protect each other," Rafe reflects. "Mine taught me that everyone has a breaking point." This reinforced his belief that relationships are transactional. Penelope similarly learned wariness and resilience. "I learned early that the world doesn't care about your pain," she tells Rafe. "It only cares about how well you hide it." Their shared understanding of suffering creates a connection beyond physical attraction. They recognize in each other a familiar type of damage, different in specifics, but similar in effects. Those who understand your darkness best often carry their own shadows. There's something intimate about being seen at your worst and accepted anyway. The story explores the thin line between justice and revenge. The opening violence represents retribution for a prior wrong, challenging us to question when violence might be justified and if vengeance can truly be justice. Rafe operates by his own moral code. "I don't believe in forgiveness. I believe in balance. You take from me, I take from you. It's the only kind of justice that makes sense." This perspective forces us to examine our beliefs about forgiveness and retribution. Power dynamics permeate the narrative as characters negotiate for control. Rafe's philosophy is direct. Power isn't about making people fear you. It's about making them believe they need you. This guides his relationships and conflicts. The story reveals power's costs. Maintaining control requires vigilance and often sacrifices genuine connection. In one poignant scene, Rafe realizes his carefully constructed walls had not only kept others out, but trapped him within. The problem with armor is that eventually you forget how to take it off. The setting actively shapes characters' choices through stark contrasts. Opulent wealth alongside desperate poverty, public respectability masking private corruption, beautiful facades concealing ugly realities. These dualities mirror the moral ambiguities faced by characters. The city functions almost as a character itself. The affluent district with gleaming towers houses Rafe's legitimate business empire, while the industrial waterfront with rusting containers hosts darker dealings. These physical boundaries mirror the moral boundaries characters cross throughout. Weather and natural elements serve as powerful metaphors. The port explosion that turned the sky orange represents a suspension of normal rules, while a violent thunderstorm coincides with a crucial confrontation between Rafe and Penelope, external chaos echoing internal turmoil. The Christmas setting creates effective contrast between expectations of peace and the violent reality of characters' lives. Holiday decorations mock their dark world. Cheerful storefront displays illuminate blood and snow, while carol singers provide soundtrack to backroom deals. Beneath this dark romance lies a sophisticated exploration of morality, identity, and human nature. The story examines establishing personal values in a world without absolute moral truths. Characters face situations where conventional morality provides no adequate guidance. Right and wrong are luxuries, Rafe states. Sometimes all you have are bad choices and worse ones. This moral relativism acknowledges complex situations where traditional ethics fail. The narrative reveals how people rationalize their darkest actions. When Rafe explains a brutal act, he had choices. He made the wrong ones. Everything after was just consequence. We see moral boundaries shifting through the lens of personal justice. Questions of identity permeate the story as characters navigate between public personas and private selves. Rafe's observation that we're all wearing masks, some of us are just more honest about it, captures the universal struggle between authenticity and social performance. Vulnerability functions as currency in this power economy. Characters strategically reveal weaknesses to manipulate others, while genuine vulnerability remains rare. When Penelope tells Rafe, "I'm choosing to trust you. Don't make me regret it," it transforms their relationship dynamic. The story explores gendered power dynamics. Female characters wield influence through indirect but effective means. Penelope demonstrates this, noting, "Men like you understand force. I prefer leverage," employing information gathering, alliances, and strategic patience instead of Rafe's direct methods. The narrative questions whether love can coexist with darkness, whether connection is possible between people who've committed terrible acts. It suggests that authentic acceptance of another's complete self, including their darkest aspects, might be the truest form of love. This resonates because we all wonder if we could be loved if our darkest thoughts were known. Rafe and Penelope's journey suggests true connection requires not perfection, but honesty and the courage to be vulnerable despite the risks.